Today's daf is daf kuf lamed hey. We're in the middle of discussing the ne'amonis that a person has to be poter his wife from yibum, and we were mechalik between cases where there was a chazaka that had been based on something that was more than a mere perception, so that initially there had been edim that there was actually brothers. Well, over there we only have a suffik whether he had a son. Over there, there's no din of Yakir, because the din of Yakir is only once we know that he's the Av. We certainly can't create a relationship of Avhut based on Yakir. But in a case where we have a Sveik Sveika, so that we don't have any Murzek and Achim, so over there, it's valid to us that he would say that he has a son, because you'll say, well, Nafkamina doesn't make, a Nafkamina, because once we'll establish that he has a son, so then Enochinami, if later on somebody claims to be a brother, we will already establish a Ptur from Yibum. So it is Chashiv to us. Furthermore, in a case where we have a Chazoka that there is a brother, so there, that again, the Chazoka over here doesn't mean the Chazoka that it was based on some Edis. It means a chazaka that it was an assumption all along. Well, these guys always acted like brothers. We assume they were brothers. So there, if there's a migu, and the migu is that it's biyodah now legarsha, so then he's neman because he could always be magarisher if he wanted to pater her from yibum, if that was the only point. So in such a case, it would be enough. We wouldn't consider it to be a migu b'mokum chazaka, because that chazaka is not a chazaka that has been established la'alocha. It's a chazaka in the literal sense of an assumption that has been made without any real legal basis. Now, the question, meanwhile, got into the shilas of the other migu, in which a person should be neman to say that someone is a ben liyorsho, because you'd always give it to him as a shchiv mira. We're getting now into questions of at what point, this daf is going to discuss, what types of migu and what types of gifts of a shchiv mira are considered to be valid. So continuing on, you'll remember that yesterday, the last thing we had, was that there were be'emes two lishenis in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, one lashon said that a husband is believed to say he was magarish his wife, and another lashon was quoted as saying a husband is not believed to be magarish his wife. We ended up putting the two together and saying that it depends on the circumstances. If he was saying that the gate took place before, since it's not biyado to be Megarish's wife retroactively, so he certainly could not establish it that she was Megureshet, let's say in a case where she had been Mizana a month earlier and he wants to pater her, he can't say that he was Megarisher because it's not biyado to go back in time to be Megarisher. However, when it comes to the question of from this point forward, and he says I was Megarisher right now, we don't have any witnesses to that effect, but Lamai said, is Biyodai to be Megarisher right now? So Bemele, he is Ne'aman to say that he was Megarisher now. That was one of the approaches that we took in Rabbi Yochanan, in which case, you'll remember that instead of waving goodbye to the Hoyle of Rabbi Yossi, we said, actually, the Hoyle of Rabbi Yossi makes sense as long as it's referring to Mikan al-Ahava. The last thing that we didn't determine, which is not relevant to today's discussion, was whether we would say Pagina Dibure if he said that it took place in the past and we want to apply it to the future. It wasn't Negea Din in the past. Fine. But now the Gemara entertains cases that are Negea, our discussion of yesterday. So let's start easy. First, there was a case of Ahuda Havikashachim. A guy is dying and we know that he had brothers. So the question is, there were no children that we knew of. And he is v'chayra going to leave a wife who is a kuka liyibum. So when he was dying, they asked him, Omer le'itite leman, who is his wife's kosher for? He said, I wanted to know if he had given her a get to pater from yibum. Amalu, so he said to them, ah, she can marry even a kain gadol, which is obviously insane. I mean, if the guy's dying, clearly she's an almona, she's going to be a surah to a kain gadol. So therefore, it must mean, and some, in fact, take out the word gadol, thinking that that solves the problem. As Tosfos points out, it still doesn't solve the problem. She's because if she's a grusha, the only way that we're believing him over here is clearly a grusha. Otherwise, if he's claiming bonim, I mean, then it gets back to the shaila we had yesterday. No reason for us to bring this up again. So therefore, on the contrary, the fact that he's saying lekahana, particularly if he says lekahana rabba, makes it clear that he's not coming to discuss the elements that are negeh the kuna specifically, such as the almanut or the grusha status. What he's saying, look, lemaisa, she is bichlal so not a yavama that as far as that chashash is concerned, anybody could take her. Okay, there's other issues. Fine, there's other issues. Now, Lamai said the Tosas brings another gear to that. Chazi Lakuna means that she can go back to the Truma, the Beinash, is what it means. In other words, there's no zekika to a Yisrael that would prevent her from eating truma. That would be the sense. But I mean, that's not the Pash. The Gemara Chazia is that she's ruya to marry. So Omar Rava, so Rava said, oh, so Lechora, we can believe him, right? Because Ma'anechushla, didn't we say, Omar Abchia Barava, Omar Abchia Yochana, Baal Shagamar Gerashti Tishti, that's essentially what he's saying. He's saying, I divorced her. So he's saying, I divorced her, he's Ne'aman. Omar Abaya, that's all very nice, but I mean, remember, there was also Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying just the opposite. Okay, after Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shamar Gerashi Tishti, Eino Ne'aman, said Rava, so, big deal. I mean, we basically fixed it in such a way that both of those Ashonas were true, right? Omar Le, Valav, Mi, Lo, Shanino, I mean, we resolved that issue. We said that one case is talking about Lemafreya, and one case is talking about Mekan al-Ahaba, so Enochinami, Lemafreya, there's nothing to do, because since it's not Biyodai to do it, so why would we be mining him? But since Mekan al-Ahaba has a Migo of oil, it's Biyodai, so then we would believe him. Says Abaya, no. So you had a nice way of resolving it, so that's, therefore we should say that's the fact. Because you can resolve it, that's the fact. I mean, how do you know that it wasn't really two different shitas in Rabbi Yochanan? So Vashinuya Nekim Alismach, when you want to be matir, this woman, Alok Alamaisa, based on the fact that, well, I mean, it looks like a nice resolution. You're hoping it's a resolution. You certainly can't rely on that. Omar Le Ravel, Rav Natan Barami, okay, I give up. So Chushla, then you'll have to be Misupik. I guess Abai is right. So she should be Asurazi of Omar Lashuk. What can we do? Ahuda Avimuchzon Dalet Le'ach. Sorry. The guy had a chazaka, there were no brothers, and he said, Bishas Misa, it's true, I have no brothers, don't be chayish about my wife. Omre of Yosef, my lechushlo, so what's there to be worried about? We have our own chazaka. The let le achin. Furthermore, he said, Bishas Misa, that he doesn't have any brothers, so there's nothing that's ma'ir any suffix. Omre of Yosef, of course there is. You know the rumors. Amre dike edim bina sayam, the yadin is le achin. People are saying that there are edim that happen to know his brothers. It's just that they're on vacation right now. So, said Rabbi Yosef, big deal. I mean, ashta mi es ales nukaman. I mean, ena dayin ala mashen of rois. But because we have rumors that there's witnesses, so maybe we have to be chayish for the witnesses. I mean, isn't this famous case of Rabbi Chanina? Lav einu de Rabbi Chanina. Dom Rabbi Chanina edim bitzad istan v'teaser. This was the maisa with Benot Shmuel. That Shmuel's daughters, remember, they worked it out in such a way they should come to the base of Medrash. They should say, we were captured. And nobody ever touched us. So that way they would be mutarot l'kuhuna. Because it was a pesha, it's a pesha yitir. So somebody came along and tied it. But there are witnesses that are, they're not here now, but they're on vacation in Switzerland. But Lamaisa, they know that she was a shvuya, and therefore she should be a sura. So Rabbi Chanina responded to that by saying, so they ate him up in the north somewhere. We got to worry about them. Said, so the same thing is true over here. What do we got to worry about it? That she should be Asur Lashuk because of that. Now, wait a second. Over there, Rabbi Chanina was talking about a case of being matir ashvuya. Shvuya, bichlal is a big chumra. I mean, there's no reason for us to say that because of the fact that she was a shvuya, ipso facto, she was raped by these goyim. First of all, I mean, this is not the correct years in our Gemara, but it's a hezber, which is true, correct? Mishum de menavla nafsha lagabi shavoy. We know we have many kulas lagabi ashvuya, because it's the derech of a shvuya to try to make herself as less attractive as possible to her shvuyim, her shovaim, and the male were makel. We don't assume that they would have raped her. So you're telling me that because we're makel in that case, where anyway it's a big chumrah, and the isser that's involved is an isser kal, basically, I mean, it's a lab. Over here, it all comes down. I mean, even though the case itself is not a case of Eishes Ish, we want to be matir, Yevam al-Ashuk, but it's coming from the original Chazak of an Eishes Ish. So you're telling me that we should be Mekil now, Eishes Ish, that now that original Kinyan is now Zokeket for Yibum, and you want to be matir even that? Amalei Ravel al-Nasim Barami is another case. All right, Chushla, put her into the Cheshashis column. All right. Now, the next case the Mishnah had was that the man who says, Ze'achi, remember what the case was. There's, let's say, keeping it simple, there were two brothers. One of the brothers, we had Reuven and Shimon, one of the brothers recognized Levi and claims that Levi is indeed a brother of his. And Shimon, so Reuven says this, Shimon says, I don't know any Levis. So you don't know any Levi. So what we said over there was, Reuven will have to share. Please sit right over here. We have a special gift for you.
Going away present.
Going away present. So we said over there that what Reuven has to do, of course, is to share his Yerusha with Levi. And Shimon doesn't have to share anything. So let's remember, simple case was, I'll give you instructions afterward. Simple case was, there's three fields, let's say. So each one of the brothers, Reuven and Shimon, took 1.5 of those fields. Now that Reuven recognizes Levi, Levi should have gotten 1/2 field of Reuven and 1/2 field of Shimon. But Shimon isn't buying. So Reuven says, okay, well, I have 1/2 field that belongs to you. I'll give you my 1/2. If you can bring a riot to Shimon that you're a brother, you'll get your other 1/2. I don't have to supply you with everything, obviously. So then the Mishnah said that if Levi dies, the field goes back to Reuven. Whereas even if Shimon wants to be Teveya something, I mean, Lamaisa, Reuven can say, okay, but you already have your Yerusha from Levi, you just never gave it to him in the first place. So now you can get to keep the Geneva that you took from him legally, you know? So you re-inherited from him. Now all of a sudden you discovered your long-lost brother Levi now that he died. But Lamaisa, if Levi had acquired additional things, then Levi would actually be Morish both brothers. That's what, and the additional things. That's what the Mishnah said, which is a little strange. Because, Levi is saying he is my brother. So from the point of view of Levi, he's saying Shimon is my brother. Then he dies, so he should be Morish Levi. But the thing is, Shimon is denying that he's a brother. So this we're gonna discuss in the Gemara. So in any event, if he says, Ze'achi, so then he's not Neman, meaning he's not Neman to be Mechai of another brother. He's only Neman vis-a-vis himself, like any other Eidaz Baal Din. Now, it says the Gemara, let me get this straight. What was the other brother saying? I mean, you never said what Shimon said. So, v'idach ma'ika amri. I mean, if he agrees that it's achonu, v'ika amri achuna avi. So then, I don't get, am I itol imo b'chalko v'tulo? Why would he only be taking Reuven's piece? I mean, if Shimon agrees, he'd have to take half the field, the extra 1/2 field from Shimon, that the way they each get 1 field out of the 3. So why only b'chalko v'tulo? So obviously he must be saying that I don't know who this guy is. So elo d'kamri lav achinohu. But if he's saying that this is not my brother, then how do you understand the Sefer that says if nafluda nechasimi makov acher, that if Levi ends up now having more fields that weren't given to him by Reuven, and then he dies, so then it says Yirshu echavimo. How can this guy be Yoresh something where he himself is saying, Ha'amre le'lav achunahu? He's saying, I'm not your brother. So basically now it becomes Eidaz Baal Din Legabi Reuven. He's saying, I'm not supposed to get any of this chelek. So the mission doesn't make sense. Either the first part doesn't make sense, or the second part doesn't make sense. Must be. I mean, there's only one alternative. That Shimon is not saying anything that is definitive. He's saying, I don't know. Lotzvir de gamre inan yodim. So he's saying, look, I don't know who Levi is. Levi claims he's my brother. My brother says he recognizes him. That's enough to be Machai of me. So, Mitzad HaSafik, I'm not going to give it to you. Now, this, of course, is a Bori V'Shema. Shaila about Bori V'Shema is a big machloikas. So, Lechora, we see from here, says Rav Amar, Rav Zotomeret, this seems to be a definitive proof from a Mishnah, that if somebody says, Manali Biadecha, Vahala Emer Eni Yodea, guy says, you have something of mine. And the other guy says, I don't know, I don't remember. So he's Potter, because that's what's happening over here. This guy is a Bori, Levi. And Shimon is a Shema. He's got to be a Shema, because if he's a Bori, then he shouldn't be inheriting from him at the end. So you see from here that even though the guy is Bori, we still say, I'm Yitzi Bechaver Olav Araya, and I'm not going to give you the other 1/2 field. So Lachori is Potter. We don't say that a Bori is Adif to be Yitzi. Says Abaya, no, there's a way out of it. It's not a definitive riot. Because what we could say is that Li'olam Eimelech HaChayav could be that maybe Bori V'Shem HaBori is Adif. Maybe the point over here is that Levi isn't sure. So Reuven, who recognizes Levi, fine. So that's Mechayev now Reuven, but it's not going to be Mechayev Shimon, even though Reuven is a Bori. Why? Because this is a case of Kemona Le'acher Biyotcha. Where do we say Bori V'Shema Bori Yodif when the Baldin is Teveyahim? But when someone who is irrelevant to me, who are you? What do you mean somebody's thing, this belongs to somebody else? I don't believe you. What do you mean? But I'm a Bori, you don't know. So, if you were the one that had a right to be Teveya me, then Bori is a Tviya. But for information purposes alone, you can't be Motzi with a Bori from a Sof. Memela, there's no Tviya. And that everybody is made that in a case where it's a Mona La'acher Biyotcha. So then in Achinami, there's no issue. But since we're left over here with Reuven himself, who was the only known brother, is claiming that Shimon is a brother, and now Levi has died, so Reuven is saying that this stuff is supposed to be going to Shimon, and Shimon never denied it. So he can't keep it, Reuven. So Mamela, both brothers are going to end up being Yerush. If he dies Levi without leaving additional things, so what was there, we said, made Yachzru Nechasim Lebekomam, put them back where they were, meaning give them back to Reuven. But if it was now something that had come in after to Levi, separate from the Yerusha from Reuven, so then they would be Mechalikit. Now the question that Rava had was, boy, Rava, how about Shevach Sheshavchu Nechasim Mi'aleihem? Wow. I understand that if it's a different piece of property, so then yes, then it would just simply be divided between the two brothers. But how about if it's the original property, and it's property that now is worth a lot more? So if it's Shevach HaMagia L'Ktafayim, Lo Tiboy Lecha. In other words, if Lamaisa, the field that was inherited by Levi, was empty, he went ahead and he invested it, he plants in it, and now it grew up, it's got a whole crop. And now it's coming back, we're going to give it to Reuven with a crop in it. That's definitely considered to be something new. And that is Shevach. That's Levi went ahead and invested. So we said if Levi had investments or had Yerushas from some other place, his wife died, whatever the case might be, then everybody would split it. Shevach HaMagia L'Ktafayim is certainly not an extension of the original karka. It's new investment and new growth. So that's a vada, that's tichinaf l'nechasim mimakom acher dami. That's as if he went ahead and bought something. But my question is, ki tiboy lecha, b'shevach she'eno magia l'ktafayim. It doesn't stand there at shoulder height, the corn is as high as an elephant's eye, but rather, it's the same thing that was there, but now it's better than it was, like a dikla v'olim. It was a thin little tree. Now it's a nice big adult tree. Or it's an arav aska sirton. Maybe now it's silted up. So it's got a lot more usable topsoil on it. So what's the case over there, my take? That remains up in Misha mate. A guy dies. Now, what happened over here is the guy wrote out a last will and testament, and he tied it onto his own body so that it would be found. That's so funny.
Everybody thought about the terrorist tied the bomb onto his own body on the Reichlein. That was his last will and testament.
All right, so in this case, no, I mean, unfortunately, I know of actual cases where the person was not careful enough to tie it onto his body, and it was only discovered when it was too late. But, he left something next to his hospital bed. The nurses, after he died, simply took everything, piled it up in a box, gave it to the family, didn't even open the box. Meanwhile, there was information there about that he had bought a Mocha Kever in Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael with all of the telephone number of the Kever Kadisha. I mean, the whole thing, and they had buried him elsewhere. So this guy was smart, okay? He tied it onto him. So he tied it onto him. It's not going to disappear. What's that? That's exactly it. He wanted it to be found. So they found it. So now, since over here he had written it out as a shtar, the problem was that it wasn't worth anything. Because the only way that it would work as a daitiki is if it's given as a shchiv mira. So memela divret, remember, there's a special kayach. By the way, the Lashon daitiki is actually Greek. It really means a will. Except as the Gemara is going to point out, like all of the words that were imported from the Greek, legally, that we always gave them an artificial etymology. So we use the daitki, da tehelem avivakoy, as we'll see. So it became now a sense of this shall be permanently and enduringly in place, meaning it's a getter of Yerusha.
It really but, is artificial? It's not?
Yeah, they're
the
all
artificial. Took it from?
No, I mean, the Rishonim say that it's artificial. But the Chazal wanted to give a like Kapandria, you know, Ada Kifta. I mean, that's a very strange etymology, but it's the same idea. It allows you to be mechaber to your own mode of speech. So over here, since what the guy was doing, he thought that he was going to be able to give over with the shtar property after his death. There is no such mechanism. There's no way to give over anything after death because the giver obviously no longer has power to give it. So the only thing that Chazal made was a matnashchiv mira, which was a special takana to make it easier to deal with his impending death. Like this, he would panic that he was, as I mentioned, it's all we need is he had to speak to a lawyer, right? So he'd never survive that. So memela, we made it that bedibur alone, he was able to transfer things. But over here, he wasn't attempting to transfer things bedibur. He thought he could make out a will. But a will has no value.
So
it was never given as, either as a living gift, wasn't
good.
He didn't make a kinyan. It wasn't a normal shtar. It was a daitaki. And a will doesn't have any value. There is way, obviously, there are ways to write wills, but as we said, we're going to discuss it, but as we said, if you're going to write a will not utilizing the special kayach of a shchiv merah, so someone is well and he wants to write a will, it has to be with the modern mechanism. This was, now it's very contemporary at the time, it was a tremendous chiddush, that there was a concept called a living will in which the actual property would be transferred. This is very popular today for tax purposes. The actual transfer of the property takes place at the time. So he says, me'achshav. But the rights to the use of the property and all of the production of the property are still owned by the person who's making the transfers. As far as the IRS is concerned, the main value is transferred now. The fact that for the endurance of his life, he'll continue to get the profits is a small issue. That's small potatoes. So he's known as he's giving away a $100 million building, and he has an income of $10 million a year. Okay, so they'll charge him for the $10 million a year, but meanwhile, he gets away with, if he gives it as a charitable donation, so it's a $100 million charitable donation. This is very popular. So this is exactly what every living will is. It's a modern living will. The property, as in terms of the actual body of the property, is transferred today, and then he retains all rights until after his death. So then nothing is given after his death. It's just he's not in the way after his death. So now the products and the profit now go to the person who owns the property. But in this case where he thinks that he can write up a will, he can't write up a will. So Reza ain't a clue. Now, if he was Zika Balaacher, here's a curious case. The guy writes out a will like this, and now he's dying. So he wrote this out maybe 5 years before. He takes the will that he wrote that has a list of all of his property and he gives it to somebody else. And he says, I want to give all the property in this will to this person. And he uses the will that's made out to someone else to give to another person, to give to a third party, which is weird, right? Now, he clearly is only using the will as a piece of paper, not as a shtar to effect the transfer. He's just making a reference, all of the property that was listed in here, I'm giving as a matnashchiv mira. So then, surprisingly, the very will that was no good as a document becomes useful as a non-document.
So why does he have to give it to the people?
He doesn't. But in other words, it's ironic. It comes out ironic. And it's not viewed as a contradiction that it's made out to somebody else. It's a very strange abstraction. Now, this is what we're making clear. The document qua transference is meaningless. But mainly, you can even use the document as a reference document for something that would be used, the matnashchiv mira, which is a totally different mechanism. That's how little the document means in terms of an etzem shtar for transference. It's a legal oddity. It's a very strange thing. I mean, people on the surface, it strikes you as being weird. But the truth is, it's very simple in terms of its legalities. So if he's mezaked la'acher, so then it doesn't matter who that is. Bein min ha'yorshim, bein she'ein min ha'yorshim. At that point, because he made that statement as a shchiv mira, So then it doesn't matter, even if it wasn't written for the name of the person he's being mezakeh to. So there's people that are there in the room as he's dying, and he says, I want to give this to somebody else. So that's fine, then that somebody else would get it. And there, even if he wasn't royal to be Yerushim or anything, and there was no kinyan, and the document is useless, makes no difference, because as opposed to an attempt to write a daitaki, a statement of a shchivmera is powerful, whereas the written daitaki is not powerful. Tana Rabbanan, a zehi daitiki, when you say a daitiki over here, a real daitiki, a halachically valid daitiki, is only that which is the statement of the Shchiv Merah's words. So kol shekatuv ba, when it's written in this, da tehele mekam v'liyot, which is a notrukun of daitiki. So that is a recording of the words of the actual moment that the Shchiv Merah gives it. A zohi, and where is there a matana that would not be called a daitiki, but would work? So what type of matana would work, which ends up meaning, we'll see, that's what we're looking for. What matana could achieve the same thing mechai that a daitiki would achieve? Kol shekatuv ba mihayom ule achar mita. If the guy writes, I'm making this gift from today, ule achar mita, that is interpreted to mean that the goof of the karka is transferred today, and the peiros he'll only get achar misa. So that's a living will. So the first the Gemara thought ezohi matana means in general. How do we tell the difference between a typical matana and a daitiki? I mean, that's ridiculous. It says the Gemara. So I understand you're saying that the only way to give a gift is if it's a matana as a yom alachar mita. Who davi matana? But if a guy stam wants to give a gift now, he can't give a gift now. Is that true? Me akshav lo havi matana. I'm Rabbi. Of course not. We're asking a zoi matnat bari sheyik matnat shchiv mira. How do we achieve legally the same thing that would have been achieved as the gift of a shchiv mira, where the gift of a shchiv mira is lokoni ela laachar mita? You'd have to write it as a living will. Of course, it would be a big difference between the two, because the Shchiv Merah could change his mind. And if the Shchiv Merah gets better, he also, the whole thing is batal mavotal, which would not be true by a typical matana. Once you gave the matana is given, you can't change your mind anymore. So, but we're saying, but as far as this particular small point is concerned, normally it's impossible to transfer anything le'achar mita. Where effectively is this done, even though it's not really what's happening legally, but where effectively do you achieve that? By giving a living will. So for all intents and purposes, you're still the owner, even though you're not, but you're still the owner in terms of all practical issues. So you still continue to get the property, the value of the property. Yantiv Rava, Rava Bar Rav Huna, Be'achsadra de Be'rab. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna was sitting over there in the porch by the Beis HaMedrash. V'yantiv V'kamar Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that a Shchiv Me'ra that wrote, that said, Kitvu utnu mona leploni umeit ein kotvim v'notnit. Fascinating. The Mishnah raised a very clear contrast. The Shchiv Me'ra either said, give this to so-and-so, or someone had written up a shtar to give. But what about if the Shchiv Merah says, write up a shtar to give? Now that already confuses us. Because if the Shchiv Merah had said, give, so then that becomes a daitiki. We'd write it up as a daitiki. If he had himself attempted to write a shtar, so either it would be a shtar now, or if it was lachamis, it would be useless. But how about if he tells us to write a shtar? So now Rabba Bar Rav Huna quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying that if he said the words, write it up and give it to him, so then we can't write it up, because maybe the meaning was that he's not attempting to give it as a gift of a Shchiv Merah. He's telling them to make a normal Kinyan Shtar, write up a valid Shtar, meaning a transferring Shtar. But since he died before they were able to write up the Shtar, to give over the field, so what was the mode of the Kinyan? There was no mode of the Kinyan. We can't go makna something like our Moshe. Now it's owned by his heirs. They don't want him to give it away. Amar lehu, Rebbe Elazar. So in shtar achamita. And since it may be that he wanted to give it in shtar, that doesn't work. Amar lehu, Rebbe Elazar. So Rebbe Elazar said to the people who were sitting there on the porch, "Is daruba." Take this very seriously. This is a very important sock, because it means that things are not so simple. You have to listen carefully to what a Shchiv Merah is saying, and he may in fact put things in a way that are confusing, and in which case you have no right to write up such a shtar. Now, there was a different version by Reb Shizbi. Reb Shizbi says that actually what happened was Rabbi Elazar was the one who had said the psak, and it was Rabbi Yochanan who said he's daharuba, not vice versa. So here, our version has Rabbi Baravuna quoting Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Elazar saying, this is very important, pay close attention. Reb Shizbi says, on the contrary, Rabbi Elazar was the one who had said the halacha, Rabbi Yochanan had said, pay close attention. Omer Nachman by Yitzchak, well, that's much more reasonable. Because, I mean, Lamaisa Rabbi Yochanan was Rabbi Elazar's Rebbe. So if you tell me that Rabbi Elazar said it, okay, we need Rabbi Yochanan's gushpanka, so to speak. Rabbi Yochanan has to say, very good, and indeed I agree, and pay close attention to that. But does it make sense that it should be the opposite? Rabbi Yochanan should say something, and Rabbi Elazar, the Talmud says, yeah, it's a very important psak. I mean, it's not a chutzpah. Who needs Rabbi Elazar's agreement to the psak of Rabbi Yochanan? So, Bishleim, if you're telling me that, Rabbi Elazar was the one who was Omra, that would be that Itzik Rabbi Yochanan lasudi alei the Rabbi Elazar. We need Rabbi Yochanan to approve the statement of Rabbi Elazar's Talmud. Elei Amrit Rabbi Yochanan Amra, the way that it was originally quoted by Rabbi Baravuna over here was that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said it. Why would we need Rabbi Elazar lasudi alei the Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi? Rabbi Yochanan is the Rebbe. And furthermore, I mean, besides being reasonable, we actually, O Tashma, the Rabbi Elazar Amra, I can show you that it was Rabbi Elazar for the following Maisa, because the Shalach Ravin Mishmei the Rabbi Avu, Ravin sent now from, in the name of Rabbi Avu, Havi Yodim, She Shalach Rabbi Elazar LeGola Mishum Rabbeinu, that Rabbi Elazar sent a message to the entire Gola from Rav, that a shkiv mirasha amar kitvu utnu mana laploni v'meit ein kotvim v'notnim shema lo gabar laklato ela b'shtar v'ein shtar la'achar mita. So clearly Rabbi Elazar was the source. Now Rabbi Yochanan, in this Shalach Ravin, Rabbi Yochanan was quoted as saying, well, check it out. Now, obviously that doesn't mean check it out in the sense that maybe he's wrong, because we just saw that Rabbi Yochanan agreed. But means, check it out, meaning that the language is extremely important. My tibadek, what do you mean by the word tibadek exactly? Ki asr of dimi omar, look, daitiki mivatelet daitiki. First of all, you should know that you always go to the last statement. Because lemaisa, the person, so long as he's in the state of a shchiv meira, we go ahead and we do the last thing that he said. That was part of the takana. Because anyway, it's not chal until the moment of his death. So therefore, in giving him over the right to be defining what the disposition will be of his property, that right continues until his actual death. So therefore, a shchiv meira can have charata. Furthermore, you should know that if he says, kitvu utnu mana leploni umet, then you have to analyze the way in which it was said. Ro'im. Im ki yemapeh et kocho, kotvim. If what he was saying was clearly, and we'll see exactly how to phrase that, but let's say that the guy said, give such and such, and I want it written up so that no one will ever doubt it. So then obviously all he wants is a record of the event so that it will be clear that it was given to him as a shchiv meira, not that he's saying write up a shtar so that the shtar should be the mode of the kinyan of the sada. So then of course we would write it up la'achar misa. It depends how it was said. So in that case, if it was kimiapet kocho alone, then kotvim. Im lav, if it was doubtful, maybe he meant to actually transfer it to him li'achar misa, then there's nothing we can do. So in kotvim. Masiv Rebaba Bar Mama Borish Amar Kitvu Utnu Mana Laploni Vemet Ein Kotvim Venotnim. Take a look at this. Here it says, if a guy who is in perfectly good health says, write up a shtar and give it to so and so, and then he dies suddenly before it was written up, so then Ein Kotvim Venotnim. Now, doesn't that tell me that in a similar case where a guy is not in perfect health, meaning if the guy's a shchiv meira, so then we would have been kotvim venotnim, even in a case where he said kitvu tnu. Now that seems to be saying that the psak that we said over here of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar and so on, it's all wrong. And that the only limitation on language is by a bori, but by a shchiv meira, we would simply always assume that it was meant to be as a matna shchiv meira. Rabbi Bar Mamal asked it, and he immediately realized it's This is not a very good question. Who motive lo b'mafareklah? Because, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan himself allowed for the distinction where it was b'miyapet kocho. But there it could be said as b'miyapet kocho by a bori. I don't care how the bori is saying it, because the bori doesn't have a keich to transfer it in any other way but the shtar. So l'maisa, if he didn't write the shtar while he was alive, there was no kinyan at all. By the shchibir, we can understand that a language of miyapet kocho indeed means that the kinyan was effective during his period of a shchibir. What do you mean by that exactly? Hechidami b'miyapet kocho. Kiryom Rav Chista, we're going to see a maisa later on. Rav Chista explained that even a konu miyodoy of a shchiv meira, he could still have a charata. So in other words, the shchiv meira continues this, he said to be kainet, so we understand that was only begetter mosif. So Reb Chista said over here that kendina mine mosif al matan tada, that above and beyond this matana, that type of kanina is not a separate kinyan that was meant to be effective. It was only and clear-cut determination on the part of the Shechiv Mira to give him a Shechiv over a year. Over a year, it would be as if he said, Af kitovu v'chatomu v'havile, and I want you even to write it up and sign it when we even. Must be that the actual Kinyan was effective because of Shechiv Mira. This is not even one written up. So in other words, clearly even one written up. This is a Raya B'Alma that nobody should be able to doubt what happened, but it was not meant to be the star of the actual Kinyan. Itmar Rav Yiron Rav Shmuel, halacha kotfim v'notnim. La'achar misa, in a case where it's miyape, we would definitely go ahead, exactly as we said it before, as Rabbi Yochanan said, tibadek, under those circumstances, everybody agrees, kotfim v'notnim, v'chino amarovam Rav Nachman, halacha kotfim v'notnim. If we could see it as an additive, so then there's no problem, and we give it as a matnas chimera. Amalei Rabbi Rav Nasan Barami, it's a chushla. Avud Avi Muchzik on the let layachi, Amr Bishat Bita the let layachi, Amr Yosef my lechushla. Choda Muchzik on the let layachi, Voda Amr Bishat Misa the let layachi. Amalei Abaye, but I thought we had rumors. Ika Eidim Minatayam, the Yade dit layachi. No big deal. Ashta be at the letnu, come on. Lav Aina the Rabbi Hanina, the Amr Hanina, who cares about the rumors? Aidin Bitzad Istan Vitayaser Omale Abaye Nu Mikalnu Bishvuya Nekel Beishatish Omale Ravel of Natan Barami. Here's another one. Khushla. Zeachi Eino Neaman. Say Idach Maika Omar, Ika Amriakunahu. Samai Toli Mo Bekalko and Oli Bekalko Vitulo. Eladika Amri Lavachinus and Ema Sefer. Noflo Nekasimi Makomacher Yershua Chavimo Amri Lavachunahu. Lotzricha de ka'amri enu yodim. Omar Rav, so l'chora we can prove. Zot omer, the bori v'shema. Guy says, modeli bi'adecha, v'al omer en yodea, potter. Abay omer, not necessarily. Le'olam emelacha chayav, in a case of bori v'shema. V'shayne ha'cha de kemona la'acher b'yotcha domi, assuming that the Levi himself is besupak. Meit yachzru nechassim le'mekoma. Boy, rather, how about shevach sheshovka nechassim yaleihem ma'u? So if we're talking about Shevach HaMagia L'Ktafayim, they're for sure lo tibay lecha, techi naflo nechassim imakom acher dami. Veki tibay lecha, b'Shevach Delon, enu magia l'Ktafayim, kegon, dikla v'olim, arav iska sirtan, mai, teiko. Mi shemeit v'nimtzei daiteki kishura al yirecho, harezo ena klum, zicha balacher, ben min ayorshim, en shen min ayorshim, dvorv kayamim. Toda rabbanan, ezoi daiteki, כל שכתוב בה דה תהה למקם ולהיות. ואיזו היא מתנה? כל שכתוב בה מהיום ולאחר מיטה. What? מהיום ולאחר מיטה? That's the only מתנה? מעכשיו לא אבי מתנה? אומר רבי הוכי כאמר, איזו היא מתנת ברי that would have the same din as a מתנת שכיב מרן, the sense that לא קוני אלא לאחר מיטה, Koshe katuv ba'aleha me'ayom le'achar mita. Yativ rabba baravuna. Be'achsarda devei rab. Ve'yativ v'komer mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Shchiv mirasha amar kitfu etnu mona leploni v'meit. In kotvim enotrim shemelo gamar laknoto ala b'shtar. Ve'in shtar le'achar mita. Omar lo Rabbi Elazar is the haruba. Rav Shizbi, on the contrary, Rabbi Elazar was the one who had said it. And Rabbi Yochanan was the one who heard it and said, is the haruba. Om Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Kavati Rav Shizbi is more mistabra, because Yam Rabbi Shleima, Rabbi Elazar Amra, then makes sense that it's Rabbi Yochanan Lasudi Ale the Rabbi Elazar, that it's a psak you need to be careful about. Ela Yam Rabbi Yochanan Amra, what we need Rabbi Elazar all of a sudden, Lasudi Ale the Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. The Ode Tashma, the Rabbi Elazar Amra, because Shalach Ravin Mishmei the Rabbi Avu, Avi Yodim, Sheshalach Rabbi Elazar Legola Mishum Rabbeinu, Shchiv Mira Hashama Kitvu Tnu Mona Leploni Vameit, Ein Kotvim Venotanim, Shema Lo Gamar Laknoto, Lo Bishtar, Vein Shtar Leachar Mita. That, by the way, is precisely word for word, the way Rabbi Shizbi had said it. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tibadek, Mai Tibadek, Kiyat Rav Dimi Amar, Daiteki Mevatela, Daiteki, Shchiv Mira Hashama Kitvu Tnu Mona Leploni Vameit, Roim, Im ki me'apet kochos, then kotvi, v'im lavin kotvi. Mati v'rvama bar mamal on the whole issue over here. A borish amar kitva v'tinu marel plenimet in kotvi v'notinim. Why does it say dafka bori? Because mashma shchid mera kotvi v'notinim, even though he said kitvu v'tinu. So how could Rabbi Elazar be right? Hu motiv lo mefarek labi me'apet kocho. Now, what do we mean by that exactly? Echidami me'apet kocho. Kiram Rav Chista ukanina minei mosif al matan tada. So achinami, where you would have said, and not only that, but be mosif, meaning af, ktovu v'chatomu v'havule. Itmar Rav Yonam Shmuel alachakot v'venotnim, v'chin omar Rav Amram Nachman alachakot v'venotnim.